you know, the big news was the Amendment 4 restoring felon voting rights. Tell us an overview. What happened with that? That got a little bit heated this week.
Sure. Well, you just talked about the Palm Coast Observer running some humorous fake news on April 1st. And the good news is they only do it in jest, and they're honest reporters, but there's too few Brian McMillans out there and too many reporters that seem to want to ignore undisputed facts. And so it's a disappointing thing when voters are misled about the truth of Amendment 4. So let's talk about it. As you and maybe listeners may or may not know, what Amendment 4 sought to do is restore voting rights for convicted felons. And it did two things. It excluded from that group anyone who had committed murder or a felony sexual offense. And then the rest of the felons could vote once they had completed the terms of their sentence. And so that last part, the completion of terms of sentence, has become an issue when it shouldn't be, regarding restitution, fines, and court costs, which are the things that you get sentenced for on the day that you appear before the judge, your sentencing date. And what we've said consistently is a couple things, that we would fully and completely implement the will of the voters with respect to the details of Amendment 4. These constitutional amendments don't cover how many what's this felony sexual offense. And I can tell you there are probably 20 or 30 or 40 of them that could be construed for felonies, and they have a sexual aspect to them. So it's left up to us to implement that, because the proponents didn't say with specificity what should be in or out. You know, we had to deal with the issue of is attempted murder something that should be a disqualifier. We elected not to include it, but I can tell you, I bet a lot of your listeners and people that decided to, in compassion, vote to support restoration of rights would not want or would have thought that attempted murder is very much like murder. The only difference is in the outcome. You just didn't do, you just didn't get the job done, or you had a good surgeon that saved somebody's life. And so we've elected to try to, as strictly as possible, as faithfully as possible, go according to what the proponents said before the Supreme Court and what they said to the voters leading up to the vote. And so this is where the hypocrisy and where the intellectual dishonesty comes in. Before the Supreme Court, all of these amendments go before the Supreme Court to make sure that the ballot summary that you and I read is not misleading, that it accurately describes what the amendment's going to do. And they have to present to the court, and they did, that restitution, fines, and court costs were a requirement of completion of sentence. And they did that not once, not twice, but three times with three different justices. Fast forward on their website, up until about a week ago when they deleted it, they had a frequently asked question that said, how do opponents of the bill define completion of all terms of sentence? And I'm reading now. We believe that completion of all terms of sentence includes any period of incarceration, probation, parole, and financial obligations imposed as part of an individual sentence. These financial obligations may include restitution, fines, and fees imposed as part of a sentence or as a condition of probation under existing Florida statute, unquote. They pulled that off their website last week, and what they've done instead, and what certain members of the other party have done, have decided to call it a poll tax. They've decided to say that we're attacking people who can't afford to complete their sentence. What we're doing is doing exactly what the voters voted for. And I can tell you, of the 8.2 million voters that voted, they didn't know that the rules were going to be changed after the vote, and that the amendment would be changed by the proponents after the vote. And that's exactly what's happened. Now they're coming to us and saying, no, if somebody can't afford to pay their restitution or their fines and fees, they shouldn't have to. They should be allowed to vote. Let them take it to a civil judgment lien and let the victim chase them for the rest of their lives. Hey, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, I wanted you to finish, then I wanted to talk about a video that was put out yesterday that we'll put a link to. But go ahead and finish. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, is that the House video?
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate you putting that up. And anybody that's got any question at all, and I would say particularly people who are affected by this, because I think this is a disgusting display of political partisanship. And it really is unfortunate, because what you're doing is you're manipulating people who believe they are going to have their rights restored and manipulating what the amendment really does. And that's very, very unfortunate, because we've had the conversation about what about all the other rights? Why did the proponents only want voting? What about the right to sit on a jury? What about the right to run for office? What about dealing with occupational licensing, where some felons don't get a chance to get a job of their choice because of their past conviction. We in the Republican majority are concerned not just about their voting rights, but about having a life outside of prison, having a life, a better life, a better opportunity once they return. All of that has been not reported by larger newspapers around the state. Instead, despite having that video that you're referring to, despite knowing that the undisputed facts are that our bill does exactly what the proponents said it would do, they are going on a political narrative that suits their purposes in not reporting the facts.
Well, well done. And yeah, it was how deceptive. I mean, like you, I think a point you made that I didn't even really think about was the voters had, you know, approved that, and then changing it after it's approved is, I mean, if they get away with that, with this, or anybody does, then where does that end? Where, you know, to go with on it. So anyway, so bottom line is yesterday or whenever it was this week. So where does Amendment 4 stand right now?
Well, we're going to pass it, and the Senate will pass it, and it'll be implemented. People that are concerned about registering to vote shouldn't. They should go vote. We'll be holding people harmless. You know, people. I got a question about, well, should people worry about being in legal trouble? No. But we have an obligation to define all the, fill in all the details. And so we're trying to do that faithfully. And our best guide is the actual advocates and what was represented both to the Supreme Court and to the voters on their own website up until a week ago when they deleted it. And so we're going to do just that, no more, no less. And so whatever someone received on a sentence, once we get this bill and we may, you know, have some amendments to make sure it's crystal clear that that's exactly what we're doing, and people will be held harmless that attempt to vote and don't have their terms complete, then that at that point they would have to complete those terms. But we're going to faithfully execute what the voters actually voted for, not what certain advocates are now asking us to do, which is to change what the amendment did. And that's a dishonest way to mislead the voters, and we're not going to stand for it.
Brian McMillan, you have a question.
Yeah, Paul, I was just thinking about how last week David Ayers asked you for a civics lesson about how, you know, how session works, and I think this is another civics lesson to me that you know, once the amendment, I mean, even though sometimes the wording can be kind of complicated, it's nothing compared to actually implementing what the amendments say. There, I mean, and this happens with lots of amendments. I mean, the legalizing medical marijuana is so complicated and opened up a huge, you know, set of you know, economic issues and other enforcement issues. And so it's a reminder of how big of a task it is to actually put something into an actual law, even though the amendment might seem obvious or clear when it's voted on.
Right. And so take marijuana. Right now, marijuana is illegal under federal law, and so that one was extremely complicated because we had to navigate law enforcement concerns. You know, if people are in possession of marijuana, it's a crime, but it also could be legal under this constitutional amendment. So this amendment process has a lot of significant unintended consequences, but the idea of looking at the legislature and saying you guys are trying to thwart the will of the voters, we're trying to implement it, but it's not as easy as it may seem. Unfortunately, in the case of Amendment 4, it would have been a lot easier. It's not nothing as complicated as medical marijuana. The proponents could have very simply said what they're now saying, which is that if somebody completes their sentence and they don't want to pay their restitution to the victim, they don't have to, and they can still vote. Or they don't have to pay the fines or court costs that the court imposed on them if they don't want to or they can't, and they can still vote. They could have done that. They could have defined what the completion of sentence meant or didn't mean, and we would be bound by that. Listen, you know, I didn't vote for Amendment 2 on the medical marijuana, but I'll tell you, I voted for the implementing bill. I'm not going to vote against it because I disagree with the policy. The voters have spoken, and the voters have spoken on Amendment 4, and we have been clear and consistent that we would fully implement that amendment in statute to fill out all the details and do exactly what the judge sentenced someone to, no more, no less. And we wouldn't add to the burden. We wouldn't also reduce the burden as now being asked by the advocates. They could have defined that, and if they did that, then we wouldn't have a role to play in defining what completion of sentence is. But they used terms that were undefined under statute. Whether they did that on purpose or not, I don't know. But the reality is they are being disingenuous with voters, and now certain members of the media are not reporting what are, I think, pretty undisputed facts of what's been represented. I think this is a pretty open and shut type of issue, and we just simply have to implement what they themselves proposed and let people start enjoying the benefits of voting that have met those conditions.